This is the message given by Mr. Isaac Joe during the evening worship service at Faith Presbyterian Church, Long Beach, California, for December 26, 2021. The title of the message is Messiah or Miracle.
Hey, praise the Lord. What an honor to be here to share God's word with you all. Yep. Today, our text is from Mark, chapter 3, verses 7 through 12. Mark 3, chapter 3, verses 7 through 12. Jesus withdrew with his disciples to the sea, and a great crowd followed from Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem and Idumea, and from beyond the Jordan and from around Tyre and Sidon. When the great crowd heard all that he was doing, they came to him, and he told his disciples to have a boat ready for him because of the crowd, lest they crush him. For he had healed many, so that all who had diseases pressed round him to touch him. And whenever the unclean spirits saw him, they fell down before him and cried out, "You are the Son of God." And he strictly ordered them not to make him know. Let's pray. Our dear Father, thank you so much for giving us your word. We also thank you for giving us your Son, Jesus Christ, who came to the world and to do those wonderful things for us. Well, most of all, the most important thing is that your Son died for us so that we could have life in him. Thank you so much, Lord. Please help us to understand that, to see that. Let us want Christ more than all the other benefits of that. Thank you, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. Now, this past week, I believe, was a busy week for both Christians and non-Christians because of Christmas. But they were busy for different purposes, I believe. For Christians, Christmas was their Savior's Day. They want to celebrate the momentary event of Jesus' birthday 2,000 years ago, which is good news of great joy for all the people. Luke 2:10. But for non-Christians, they also celebrate Christmas. But Christmas was a time to receive gifts. It seems that gifts have become the center of Christmas for them. Even Santa Claus exists for the sole purpose of gift giving. I don't think kids really care about Santa. So it is kind of sad that there are many people wanting the day of Christmas more than the person of the day. Christ is a reason for the season. So our past tonight gives us a similar picture of that. People seem to be more interested in something else than in Jesus Christ. Our passage is more like a summary than a story. It's been a while since Jesus began his public ministry, so it seems good for Mark to pause and have a summary or report of the ministry of Jesus. So by reading this data today, we have a sense of how things went with the ministry of Jesus. According to our passage, that ministry looks awesome. First, we see people like Jesus. Whether men or women, the old or the young, they follow him. Secondly, Jesus has the power to heal all kinds of disease. Lastly, but not the least, is that Jesus has authority to command demons to get out of man. So look at all these great things that Jesus has done. No wonder people came, right? But does a summary of Jesus' ministry lack something? If we pay attention, we've realized, yes, it does. It does lack something. Our summary passage leaves out the most important ministry that Jesus did. That is the ministry of the preaching, which is the center of Christ's ministry and his entire ministry. Of course, we're excited to see people flooding to Jesus. We are glad to see the sick healed and the demons driven out. But no matter how amazing these things are, they are not what Jesus came for. We do not hear Jesus himself say that he came to do miraculous things. Instead, Jesus obviously said that he came to preach, Mark 1:38. He came to call sinners, Mark 2:17. He came to fulfill the law, Matthew 5:17. And he came to give life to people in abundance, John 10:10. These are messages of the gospel. So, the first and foremost purpose of Jesus' ministry is to preach the good news of God, that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, who came to deliver his people from their sin unto salvation. It is surprising that Mark mentions all the ministries of Jesus except preaching. This says something. As we go through this passage, we see a contrast between Jesus' intention for his ministry and man's reaction toward his ministry. Now let's jump into our passage. The passage begins with Jesus withdrawing with his disciples to the sea. The intention of that is to get himself out of the crowd so that he could move on with his ministry in other places. We know this because it is a strategy that Jesus often uses. It has become a pattern of Jesus' ministry. So in order to avoid spending too much time in one place, Jesus constantly moved between cities and the wildernesses. The word withdrew indicates that the same strategy is being used in this situation. But this time, it did not seem to work well. Instead, a great crowd followed Jesus all the way to the sea. Maybe this crowd is familiar with Jesus' strategy, so they knew Jesus would leave the city for an open area. But what makes this crowd outstanding and impressive is that they are from all over the land of Canaan. Galilee, Judea, and Jerusalem. These are the main places of Jesus' ministry, so not a surprise if they are among the crowds. But the places like Idumea, which is in the far south and beyond the Jordan, so which is in the east of the Jordan River, and the Tyre and Sidon, which are in the north, are barely mentioned during the time of Jesus' ministry. We have not come across these places yet since the beginning of the Mark. We have read that Jesus had been to many places, but we are not sure if Jesus had gone that far, to the north or to the south or even to the Transjordan area. Probably not, or at least at his early stage of ministry. I think the point Mark is making here is to show us how popular Jesus was at that time, so that people were waiting to come from faraway places to the seashore, only to see Jesus. How do you feel about this kind of enthusiasm? It's kind of crazy, right? But to these people, they think it is worth it. Otherwise, they would not have come from faraway places. So what are those things that aroused these crowds' interest in Jesus? And what is their motivation of coming out to Jesus? Mark tells us that they came because they heard what Jesus was doing. What were the things that Jesus was doing? Well, Jesus did several things: preaching, healing, and driving out demons. Maybe people came because of all these things. However, in here, the emphasis is put on the things Jesus did rather than the message Jesus said. Preaching or the message of God's kingdom might be a reason for some people here, but the miraculous doing is the main reason that the majority of the crowd came for. They heard what Jesus did. They became so interested in Jesus. We have already seen this pattern before in the past chapters. After Jesus healed the man with unclean spirits, and at once his fame spread everywhere. We see that in Mark chapter 1:28. Similar thing happened when Jesus healed the leper and the paralytic. By the end of our own passage tonight, Mark shows us that many came for healing as well. I do not want to downplay miracles because Jesus is the best miracle worker in the world. And miracle plays an important role in Jesus' ministry. And because of miracles, many people were helped. Many lives were changed. And many people were led to faith in Christ. Miracles are good means, but not a necessary means. It is dispensable. Jesus himself says in John 20:29, "Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus was talking about his resurrection, which is the greatest miracle that one could ever imagine. But Jesus said there will be people who will believe in that without seeing his resurrection. And we are among them. What are miracles for in Jesus' ministry? It is a sign and nothing more than a sign. That's it. It signifies the coming of God's kingdom, as well as the identity of Jesus as the Messiah. So, miracle is not the end, but points to the end. So nevertheless, miracle is indeed a powerful means. We have to admit that. It gets people's attention almost instantly and leaves a great and deep impression on people's mind. But the intention of the miracles is that people would know that Christ is the Messiah and the message he brings is true. But the greatest effect of miracle upon man, especially on those who have needs, is that they want these miracles to happen to themselves. This is exactly what happened next. Verse 10 says, "For he," Jesus, "had healed many, so that all who had diseases pressed around him to touch him." When they saw Jesus healed sick people, those sick people wanted to experience the same thing. But how they saw the healing was kind of shocking. They just pressed upon Jesus to touch him. Everyone wanted to get closer to Jesus. This high enthusiasm of the crowd made the situation almost out of control, so that Jesus even told his disciples to prepare a boat for him because of the crowd, lest they crush him. What do we see in the reaction of the crowd toward Jesus? We see something good, something bad, and something ugly. What is good is that these people have some sort of faith, at least, in Jesus. At least they believe that Jesus is a man from God, and he could do miraculous things. That's why they are there. What is bad is that these people just seem to use Jesus for their own good. It is not normal at all for the needy to press upon, touch, and even crush the person that they're going to get help from. You may say, well, these people may have been sick for a long time. When they still hope, they could not help but overreacted. Let me make an illustration of my own experience to make you understand how improper and even offensive of the crowd's behavior here. Before I came to Westminster, I was a teacher. I was thinking how to make my class interesting and how to motivate my students so that they will be waiting to participate in the class. One day I came up with an idea that some sort of rewards will work. So fortunately, the class went well because they all wanted rewards after class. So when the class was over, I took some lollipops. But right at that moment, everything turned chaotic. As soon as I got the lollipops out, all the students came up onto me, pressing around me, reaching out their hands to grab the lollipops from me. Because they all wanted their favorite flavor. That's why they pressed upon me and tried to get their favorite lollipop before they are gone. But I felt very bad about that. I felt very bad about what they were doing to me. These lollipops were mine. At least I was still holding them. How could they come trying to get them from my hand by force? So it was very bad. I even regretted for that idea. I should not have brought lollipops there. This crowd here was just doing the same thing my students had done to me. But they were lucky they were doing that to Jesus, who was patient and gracious enough to overlook their their offend, their offense. The crowd here was just, yeah, doing the same thing. Now turn to what is ugly in here. One thing that is very different between my story and Jesus' story is that Jesus has the power to meet the need of every single person there. I just have the limited flavors of lollipops. Yet, these people still wanted to compete with one another. Just want to be the first to get healed. In my story, if I had each one's favorite lollipop, my sins would not mind waiting a little bit longer. In Jesus' situation, you know who can come in front, who can come first. Those who are younger and stronger. You know who are left behind. Those who are disabled, older, and severely sick. And we all know who needs healing most. But what we see in here is opposite. Everyone puts their own needs above others. Mark is being clear here that this crowd followed Jesus mainly for miracles. In another word, if Jesus did not have the power to heal, this crowd would not have been there, or much less than this crowd. We have to admit that miracle is very appealing to people. It was so to the people in the past. It is so to the people today, and it will be so to the people in the future. Matthew 24:24 says, For false Christs and false prophets will arise and perform great signs and wonders, so as to lead astray, if possible, even the elect. Jesus said that miracle is also appealing to some genuine Christians. So what's wrong with miracles? Are they good or bad? Do we expect or can we pray for miracles or healing for our brothers and sisters? The answer is yes, we can and we should. And that's why we have prayer requests for those things. Miracle is good, but good things can be turned into our idols. When good things become the most needed thing in your life, that becomes a trap. Think of how we react when we are in trials. When you are in a very tight finance, have you ever thought or said this? If only I have such amount of money, I would not have all sorts of stress now. Or when you have a fight with your spouse, have you ever thought or said this? If only he or she can change a little bit, our relationship will be way better. You know, that a desire for being free of financial stress or for good marriage relationship are both good. But they can become idols when we have a higher degree of these desires than that of God himself. What I mean is that we look for comfort, relief, and happiness in these desires rather than in God. C.S. Lewis has an insightful remark about man in his book, Mere Christianity. He says, if you look for truth, you may find comfort in the end. If you look for comfort, you will not get either comfort or truth only. Only soft soap and wishful thinking to begin, and in the end, despair. What is the truth of comfort for us Christians? It is the word of God, in which God reveals his love, kindness, goodness toward us. Nevertheless, the biggest revelation of the truth of comfort is Jesus Christ himself. He is the one sent as the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. He is the one called the promised Messiah, who brings the kingdom of God, telling us the kingdom of God is near, repent, and believe in the gospel. He is the one who came to call sinners, saying, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And he is the one who will be lifted up from the earth and will draw all people to him. As we can see that the core of Christ's work on earth is to reveal himself as a Christ, the Son of God. Even with miracles, what we see in the scripture is that miracle rarely happens by itself. Most of the time, if not always, it goes together with the preaching of the gospel. And it often comes after the preaching. For instance, the healing of the man with the unclean spirits, and the healing of the paralytic, and the feeding of the 5,000 men. This all happened in the context of preaching. By that way, miracles as a whole function as a sign of confirmation to the kingdom message preached by Jesus. Sadly, in here, our passage, miracles seem to be more exciting and appealing to the crowd than Jesus himself. If we be honest, we sometimes are more excited about miracles than the message and more interested in the miracles than in Jesus himself. We can ask ourselves how much we know about Jesus and his work, and what draws us to Christ. And what if our life gets harder in terms of health, finance, relationship, and work? Do we still believe in God's goodness and sovereignty, or do we complain to God for all these hardships? I have to admit that it is not always easy to keep Christ as our center when some real and burning needs are right before us. We can easily be distracted. God knows that, and that's why God sent Christ to us, so that he could display his steadfast love to you in a visible way. Romans 5:8 says, God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. If we all believe it, as Apostle Paul did, then we will be as sure as Paul by saying, nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans 8:39. This is our gospel. Jesus Christ so loves us even when we don't feel like it. If you are not Christian yet, God's promise for his saints in Christ could also be yours if you are responding faith and repentance. Coming to the end of our passage, Mark has one more thing to highlight. He does it by a great contrast. It is a contrast between these people and the unclean spirits. Verses 11-12. And whenever the unclean spirits saw him, they fell down before him and cried out, "You are the Son of God." And he strictly ordered them not to make him known. The contrast between the reaction of the unclean spirits and the reaction of the crowd is shocking. The unclean spirits, he fell down, begging, and they even called Jesus, "You are the Son of God." But the crowd is not even close to the unclean spirits in terms of manners and the knowledge of Christ. The reaction of the crowd tells me that they don't care who Jesus really is. But what they only want is to get what they want. The manner they approach Jesus is surprisingly improper, as I mentioned before, and even rude. It's like saying to Jesus, "Hey, Jesus, don't move. Just stand there. This is the moment I've been waiting for a long time. Now, let me touch you and be healed. That's it. You know, that's what I'm here for." How could people act like this to the one they are going to get help from? But the Bible reveals to us that we are all like that in our sinfulness and fallenness. That was not the most shocking part. The most shocking part is that Jesus was even killed by those he came to save. And we are one of the killers, as Christ was punished for our sin as well on the cross. Yet God, being so rich in his mercy, even when we were dead in our trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you are saved. Ephesians 2:4. This is what Christmas is all about. We are saved by the grace of God in Christ. So let's pray. Our dear Lord Jesus, thank you so much for coming to the world to become such a lowly person and even died for us on the cross. Lord, please forgive us. Sometimes we want the benefits more than you. Lord, please help us and to understand the true gospel and cherish you more than anything else. Help us, Lord, and we need you. And let your word be planted deep in our hearts and change our lives. And we will remember your goodness in whatever situation we are in. Thank you, Lord. We pray all of this in Christ's name. Amen.